This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, we are very honored to have somebody here for a topic that, frankly, is a very distressing topic. It is not the first time we have had this topic at EPIC. Alhamdulillah, we've had topics before of the same issue, and that is raising awareness about Dr. Afia Siddiqui. And you're all aware that Dr. Afia Siddiqui has been given effectively a life sentence, 86 years. She has been in jail for almost 15 years now. And her plight and story is one that is global. And frankly, may Allah forgive us all, it is a cause of shame for all of us. I'm being very honest here. It's a cause of shame for all of us that her plight has continued for as long as it has continued. Wallahu musta'an. I cannot help but recall that once upon a time, when one of the leaders of India, Raja Dahir, had taken some Muslim women, or some of the pirates had taken Muslim women as captives, the Umayyad Khalifa sent a message that you release them or else. And Raja Dahir did not do anything. So the Umayyads sent Muhammad ibn Qasim to India because there were women that were kept unjustly. And because he sent Muhammad ibn Qasim, Islam spread in those lands and those women were freed. And another lady in the time of the Abbasids was put in jail. And she cried out, "Wa Mu'tasima, where is Khalifa Mu'tasim? Where is he? Why is he not helping me?" And that one cry was carried all the way back to Baghdad. And the Khalifa was told that this lady mentioned you by name. And he felt such a surge of emotion that he made a promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he would not allow a night to go by except that the process has begun. And so he indeed sent an emissary and sent a convoy and sent a delegation and sent an army to eventually free this lady. But those were days of the past. Wallahu musta'an, we are now in a time and a place where we complain to Allah of our weakness and our incapacity to do more than just raise awareness and make dua. But inshallah, today we're going to hear a bit of a course of action about what needs to be done. And brothers and sisters, I'm not going to go over the entire story. I want to make some key points because we're not here for me, we're here for a very honored guest. Of the things I want to be very clear about, the story that is propagating in the news medias, on the internet, Wikipedia, about the details of Dr. Afia Siddiqui, those details, they come from the same source that has captured her and imprisoned her. They come from the same government that has given her 86-year sentence. And I'm not one to buy conspiracy theories, but at the same time, in any court, you cannot have the prosecutor give the very evidence that he's going to use himself in that case. You cannot have the judge be the prosecutor at the same time, which is what is happening with our sister, Dr. Afia. Without a doubt, and we were with the lawyer Clive yesterday, and Dr. Fauzi will tell you more details if she wishes to. Without a doubt, key facts that are in the mainstream media are blatant fabrications and lies. Without a doubt, we know this yaqeenan, that key facts that people think are correct because it's in every news media, they are actually not correct. What we know for sure, without a doubt, is that she was abducted with her children in the streets of Karachi in broad daylight. She was going from one family house to another, and certain paramilitary forces stopped the car and abducted her in broad daylight. She was not seen for 6 years or 5.5 years after this. Nobody officially knows where she was. But Muazzam Beg, who eventually wound up in Guantanamo, and Yvonne Ridley, the both of them who were in Bagram in Afghanistan being tortured, and I spoke to both of them, and their records are also public, they both testified and said publicly that they heard Afia Siddiqui being tortured in Afghanistan in Bagram, in the CIA black sites. Muazzam Beg told me this himself, and he told the family members as well, that he heard with his own ears this torture going on in Afghanistan. Officially, she should not have been there, but that's what we know for a fact. Without understanding how or why, she ends up in front of a police station in Afghanistan. To this day, nobody knows how. And she's arrested, and there, allegedly, some things happened, which again, clearly did not happen. She's sent back here to America. Again, very murky stories. It's such a bizarre plot. And certain concoctions are said, and she's given 86 years. This is a fact. Other facts. One of her children is still missing to this day. The same child that was abducted on the streets of Karachi, we don't know where they are or whether they are even in this world. We don't know. Two of the other children were taken and given over to foster families. And Allah knows what would have happened had it not been for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessing our sister Dr. Fozia to get involved. And what she has done for her sister and for the cause of Dr. Afia, only Allah can reward her. Relentlessly, tirelessly, she has changed her whole life to become the global ambassador on behalf of not just her sister, but the injustices that are taking place. And she fought tooth and nail to get the two children that were being handed over to even non-Muslims. They're being raised in a completely different environment. She fought tooth and nail to, alhamdulillah, get them back. And now they're being raised at least in the household of the family, alhamdulillah. Bottom line, I spoke to the lawyer yesterday, Clive. He's a well-known, you know, famous lawyer. He's been involved in over 200 cases in Guantanamo. He's one of the top-notch lawyers of the world in this field of injustices of the government. He's based in England. He flew down pro bono. Unbelievably, he's not doing this for money, even though he's a lawyer. Most lawyers, they would not do anything with that. But this guy, amazing. Clive, unbelievable. He came all the way from England. He accompanied Dr. Fozia in the plane because she wasn't allowed to come here. She's coming after 20 years to see her sister. She was not allowed to come for 20 years. We didn't know what's going to happen. Clive came in the same plane as her, landed with her to make sure nothing happens to her as well. Walked into the country and immigration with her and went to the prison with her. All of this pro bono. No salary. He's doing this because he wants to stand up for truth and justice. And he said to us, and Dr. Fozia will tell more details, but I want to give a petition. I want to give our call to action. That actually it is, inshallah, possible. There is light at the end of the tunnel to get Dr. Afia at least transferred to Pakistan. This is very feasible, he said. Very doable. But the onus, the burden, the ball is in the court of Pakistan, not here. All this government needs is a little bit of pressure, just a little bit of pressure, to do some type of either swap or exchange or military or whatever it might be. And Clive says he can do this, inshallah. But the ball has to begin. The court, the first domino has to come from overseas. Because Dr. Afia is Pakistani citizen. And until the Pakistani government doesn't do something, she's going to be in limbo, because why should this government care? It's not her citizenship, right? Her citizenship is not American. It's Pakistani citizenship. And so we have a simple request, a very simple request. It will be said today by myself, Dr. Fozia, and by Senator Mushtaq, the same request. And that is, we want Afia back home. We want Afia back home. The people of Pakistan, our people, need to put pressure on their own government, the Pakistani government. And this pressure should be positive, because Dr. Afia from the beginning has said she wants only peaceful protest, nothing more than this. Peaceful pressure to be put on the Pakistani government to arrange any type of deal with this government. And inshallah ta'ala, if that is done, then it is quite straightforward to exchange, to make some type of transaction between this country and Pakistan, our country and Pakistan, to get this done. But the ball is in the court of the people of the country of Pakistan. And therefore we say, very simply, we say, actually, let me speak in my tuti puti Urdu because this is going to go to Pakistan as well. This video is going to be said in Pakistan as well. Hamari darkhast hai apne Pakistani qoum se ki hamari behan ke sath jo zatiyan hui hain jo zulm kiya gaya hai in pe ye sirf Allah Taala hi janta hai. Sirf Allah Taala hi janta hai kya hamari behan pe kiya gaya hai. Hamari ye darkhast hai hamare Pakistani khawatin aur hazrat se ki ye hamari jo behan hai ye hamari musalman behan hai aur ye hamari Pakistani behan bhi hai. تو ہم کو عافیہ کو گھر واپس لے کر آنا ہے, بس یہ درخواست ہے. تو ہم یہ درخواست کر رہے ہیں ہماری خواتین اور حضرات سے پاکستان میں کہ اپنے گورنمنٹ سے پیٹیشن کریں کہ عافیہ صدیقی کو واپس لے کر آنا ہے پاکستان. صرف سمپل سی یہ بات ہے اور اللہ تعالیٰ ہی مالک ہے. And with this, inshallah, before I hand to Dr. Fauzi, I want to also welcome and thank Senator Mushtaq Ahmed Khan. He is one of the foremost senators. He is a member of parliament and a senator in Pakistan. He has traveled here officially to also accompany Dr. Fauzia to meet with Dr. Afia Siddiqui in prison. He has been the most vocal senator about Dr. Afia Siddiqui for the last decade or so. And he is in the upper house Senate in Pakistan. And so Senator Mushtaq Ahmed, thank you very much for coming here. If you can also share, we'll inshallah Urdu mein baat karenge aur ji haan pakad lijiye inshallah bismillah. Shukriya. Ek second isko on kar
ja. Shukriya. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Salam.
Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin wal aqibatu lil muttaqin. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ta'awanu 'alal birri wat taqwa. ولا تعاونوا على الاسم والعدوان صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد النبي الامي وعلى اله واصحابه وبارك وسلم فضيله الشيخ ياسر قاضي محترمه بهن دكتور فوزيه صديقي حاضرين المجلس محترم خواتین اسلام, سب سے پہلے تو میں آپ سب کا شکریہ ادا کرتا ہوں اور میں توقع ہی نہیں کر رہا تھا کہ یہاں پہ اللہ کے گھر کے اندر اتنی بڑی تعداد میں فرزندان توحید اور دختران اسلام اپنی ایک بہن کی فریاد سننے کے لیے, ڈاکٹر فوزیہ صدیقی, اور اپنی ایک بہن کی احوال سننے کے لیے ڈاکٹر عافیہ صدیقی, اس کے لیے جمع ہوں گے. میں آپ کا بہت شکریہ ادا کرتا ہوں. اللہ تعالیٰ آپ لوگوں کو دنیا اور آخرت میں اس کا بہترین اجر دے.
آمین.
میں سینٹ آف پاکستان میں ہوں اور سینٹ آف پاکستان میں پہلے دن سے مسلسل ڈاکٹر عافیہ صدیقی کے ایشو کو ہائی لائٹ کر رہا ہوں. اور میں یہاں پہ تھوڑی سی تصحیح کر لوں, کریکشن کر لوں, میں حکومت پاکستان کی طرف سے نہیں آیا ہوں. میں ڈاکٹر عافیہ کی ایک بائی کی حیثیت سے پرائیویٹ کیپیسٹی میں اپنی بہن ڈاکٹر فوزیہ کو کمپنی دینے کے لیے اور اپنی بہن ڈاکٹر عافیہ سے ملنے کے لیے یہاں پہ ذاتی حیثیت سے آیا ہوا ہوں. اور میں سمجھتا ہوں کہ ڈاکٹر شیخ یاسر قاضی صاحب نے بات رکھی, میں تفصیل نہیں بتاؤں گا, وہ ہم ڈاکٹر فوزیہ سے سنیں گے. لیکن ڈاکٹر عافیہ ایک ایسی مظلوم خاتون ہے اس کرۂ عرض کے اوپر کہ میں تو اکثر کہتا ہوں کہ کل حشر کے دن, قیامت کے روز, حشر کے میدان میں جب ڈاکٹر عافیہ ساقی کوثر شافع محشر صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے دربار میں اس امت کی شکایت کریں گے تو ہم کیا جواب دیں گے. ایک ایسی مظلوم خاتون جسے مارچ 2003 میں اپنے تین بچوں کے ساتھ اغوا کیا گیا, بڑی بچی 5 سال کی, اس وقت ڈاکٹر بن گئی, دوسرا بچہ 3 سال کا, وہ اس وقت ڈاکٹر بن گیا, تیسرا بچہ سلیمان जिसका वो जेल में हमसे बार बार पूछती है कि सुलेमान कैसा है, हमें खुद भी इल्म नहीं है सुलेमान कहाँ है, सुलेमान जिंदा है, सुलेमान को कत्ल किया गया है, सुलेमान कहाँ है, हमें खुद भी इल्म नहीं है सुलेमान कहाँ है। एक ऐसी खातून जो मार्च 2003 से जुलाई 2008 तक मिसिंग थी, कुछ पता नहीं था कि कहाँ चली गई। और फिर जिस तरह शेख ने बताया, आइवान रेडली ने ये अपनी किताब के अंदर लिखा, अपनी प्रेस कॉन्फ्रेंस इस्लामाबाद में की, कैदी नंबर 650, कैदी नंबर 650, कि उसकी चीखें, मैंने बागराम में एक ऐसी दिलदोस चीखें, एक ऐसी तकलीफ दे चीखें एक कैदी की सुनी है कि उसने मेरी नींदें उड़ाई हैं, और वो डॉक्टर आफिया है। और फिर उसके बाद यहाँ मुंतकिली, वो पाकिस्तानी नेशनल है। ये पाकिस्तान के हुकूमत की नाअहली है कि उसे यहाँ मुंतकिल किया गया है। और फिर 20 साल से 86 साल की कैद, आप अंदाज़ा कर ले, 20 साल के बाद एक खातून वो अपनी बहन को देखती है और बहन से हाथ नहीं मिला सकती, बहन के गले लग के रो नहीं सकती, उनकी वालदा फरियाद करते करते इस दुनिया से रुखसत हो गई। उनको पता नहीं है कि मेरी अम्मी इस दुनिया से रुखसत हो गई है। वो बार बार पूछती थी, अम्मी कैसी है, अम्मी कैसी है, अम्मी दुनिया में नहीं है। तो ये जुल्म की और तकलीफ की और दर्द की और दुख की एक ऐसी दास्तान है कि जिसे बयान नहीं किया जा सकता। और सच्ची बात यह है कि मेरी तो खुद नींद उड़ गई है। तो मैं आपका शुक्रिया अदा करता हूँ, और मैं ये दिखाना चाहता हूँ शेख यासर काजी साहब, पाकिस्तान के मुसलमानों को, देखें अमेरिकन मुस्लिम इतनी बड़ी तादाद में, ये हमारे बहनें, हमारे ख्वातीन, ये हमारे भाई, ये देखें इतनी बड़ी तादाद में अल्लाह के घर में इंसानियत के रिश्ते से, इस्लाम के रिश्ते से, उम्मती होने के रिश्ते से अपनी बहन की फरियाद सुनने, अहवाल मालूम करने के लिए अल्लाह के घर में जमाएं। तो मैं पाकिस्तान के अवाम से अपील करता हूं, आपके तवस्सुत से अपील करता हूं, इस मजमे के तवस्सुत से अपील करता हूं, मर्दों से, ख्वातीन से, नौजवानों से, बच्चों से, पॉलिटिशियन से, उलमा से, स्टूडेंट से, सबसे अपील करता हूं कि जिस तरह अमेरिकन मुस्लिम इस मस्जिद में सिर्फ अल्लाह की रजा से, इस्लाम के रिश्ते से, इंसानियत के रिश्ते से अपनी बहन के लिए जमा हुए हैं, इस तरह पाकिस्तान के अवाम, पाकिस्तान के कोने कोने से ऐसी ताकतवर, पीसफुल, नॉन वायलेंट आवाज उठाएं कि हुकूमतें मजबूर हो जाएं और उस मजलूम को जेल से निकाल के जिनकी सेहत गिर रही है, बीमार है, अपने बच्चों के पास जाने दें। एक माँ के लिए ममता सबसे तकलीफ दह चीज, अपने बच्चों से अलाहिदगी, और 20 साल तक अलाहिदगी। 6 माह का बच्चा वो तो जिगर का टुकड़ा होता है, वो तो दिल का टुकड़ा होता है, बच्चों के अंदर तो माँ की जान होती है, उसकी आप अंदाजा कर ले वो कितनी तड़प रही होगी, किस तरह तकलीफ के अंदर और कर्ब के अंदर होगी। इसलिए मेरी आप लोगों से दरख्वास्त है, अमेरिकन मुस्लिम से, अपने बहन भाइयों से, कि आप लोग ताकतवर आवाज उठाएं, पीसफुल आवाज उठाएं। आप लोग डॉक्टर आफिया की रिहाई के लिए क्या कर सकते हैं ये मैं आपको नहीं बता सकता, या बेहतर जानते हैं अपने मुल्क के हालात, अपने मुल्क के अंदर जद्दोजहद के तरीके, इसलिए आप बेहतर जानते हैं। जिस तरह मुनासिब हो, जिस तरह बेहतर हो, जिस तरह डॉक्टर आफिया की रिहाई के लिए मुफीद हो, उसी तरह ताकतवर आवाज इस अमेरिका के अंदर उठाएं। और आपके तवस्सुत से मैं पाकिस्तान के मर्द ख्वातीन से, पाकिस्तान के अवाम से कहता हूं कि वो भी उठें और अपनी बहन के लिए आवाज उठाएं, और उस वक्त तक चैन से ना बैठें। कल जुम्मा है, मैंने पूरे पाकिस्तान के अंदर उलमा और खुतबा से कहा है कि वो जुम्मे के खुतबों में डॉक्टर आफिया की रिहाई के लिए दुआ भी करें, जुम्मे के खुतबों में डॉक्टर आफिया की रिहाई के लिए अपील भी करें अवाम से। और अवाम से भी मैं कहता हूँ, सोशल मीडिया एक्टिविस्ट से, यूट्यूबर से, कीबोर्ड वॉरियर से, उलमा से, खुतबा से, स्टूडेंट से, political activists se ki wo uthein aur us waqt tak chain se na baithein jab tak Dr. Afia ko Pakistan apne bachchon ke paas wapas na la jaye. Main ek dafa phir aap logon ka shukriya ada karta hu jo mohabbat aap logon ne di apni behan ki apni mazloom behan Dr. Afia Siddiqui ke pukar par jis tarah labbaik kaha iska ajr sirf Allah aapko de sakta hai. Allah Ta'ala aapko khair o barkat de, Allah Ta'ala aapko ajr de, Allah Ta'ala hamari behan ko rihai de aur Allah Ta'ala use jald az jald bakhair o afiyat apne ghar apne bachchon ke paas wapas dene ke liye asbab paida kare. Wa akhiru dawana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Jazakallah khair. Just a quick translation for those who don't know Urdu. Senator Mushtaq thanked all of you. He said he could never believe that so many people can come in a mosque in America to help our sister Afia for this cause of Dr. Afia Siddiqui. His heart is very happy to see all of you. He's full of gratitude. And he said he wants to correct me that he's not coming in his official capacity as the senator because the government is not sending him officially for this reason. So he's coming in his private capacity. So he wanted to correct me that the government is not involved. That's why he's coming in his private capacity and not interested to do it right now. So he's coming on his own time and his own capacity as just a brother in faith to Dr. Afia. And he said that one of his motivations was that on the Day of Judgment, when Dr. Afia will meet the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and complain to him about the Ummah, how will we respond? What did we do? What will be our jawab, our answer to that? He reminds us that in March 2003, she was abducted with her three children. Those children now, the eldest daughter and the son, are now doctors. That's how much time has gone. And she hasn't seen them since that time. So they're now both doctors, and she hasn't even seen them. And as for the youngest one, she was asking in jail, what is his case? Where is Suleiman? And they didn't have the heart to tell her, they don't know where Suleiman is. They don't know whether he's here, he's not here. She does not know anything because they do not know anything. And he mentioned Yvonne Ridley, the journalist who converted to Islam. When she was held at Bagram, she said that in cabin 605, in the room number 605, she heard screams coming that terrified her to the bones. Of Dr. Afia being tortured, those screams still haunt her to this day. This is Yvonne Ridley in her book said this. And he said for 20 years, she hasn't met her children and her sister. And this is the first time her sister's coming. And even when she came, the prison did not allow them to physically touch. They could not even shake hands or hug. They were behind a barrier. And Dr. Afia asked about her mother. And she was not told that her mother has left this world, has passed away. She was not told this, so she still does not know that her mother is actually, she passed away a few years ago. And so the senator said that all of you who are gathered here today, he wants to use you as a incentive to the people of Pakistan to see that even American Muslims have gathered. So he appeals to the people of Pakistan through all of you that American Muslims who are united in their humanity and their Islam, how much more so than that the Pakistani people, humanity and Islam and the same background should also unite. So he made an appeal to all Pakistani people, all Pakistani students, all Pakistani scholars, that just like all of you have gathered peacefully to show your love and support, they should do the same to petition their own government to bring Dr. Afia back home after 20 years. He said, can you imagine, as a mother, she hasn't seen her children for 20 years. She doesn't know the details about even, you know, what has happened to one of them. So he asked us all, you do what you can in your country to alleviate her situation. She's not actually in very good circumstances, and we can help in this regard to have, you know, better circumstances, better prison facilities, better even clothing and food and whatnot. We can do this over here. Unfortunately, her case has been abandoned by many people, so we need to do that. He asked us to do it here, and he said tomorrow is the day of Jum'ah, so he hopes that dua will be made all over Pakistan and over here as well. Dua will be made for Dr. Afia, and inshallah, if all of us come together and the people of Pakistan petition their government, inshallah ta'ala, there is light, and she should be released soon, inshallah ta'ala. And with this, inshallah, I'm going to hand it over now to Dr. Fawzia Siddiqui. And subhanallah, what can be said about Dr. Fawzia Siddiqui? Allah has blessed her with fountain of sabr that is unimaginable. Dr. Fauzia, by the way, is a Harvard-trained neurologist, and she is a professor at Aga Khan. All Pakistanis know what Aga Khan Hospital is. She has now worked part-time there because the majority of her time is for her sister's case. So Harvard-trained, she is a member of the American Board of Psychiatry, of Neurology, of Epilepsy. And she's teaching in the Aga Khan Medical School. But because of what happened to her sister now, majority of her time is now dedicated to this. She was not allowed to come here for 20 years. This is the first time she's come to visit her sister. And she was not allowed to physically meet, touch the behind the glass. And today was the last day that they met, and she's heading back. So we are very, very honored. Wallahi, we are so honored to have Dr. Fauzia with us here. And without any further ado, Dr. Fauzia, the floor is all yours. Jazakumullah khair.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Shukran, Brother Yasir, and Mataram Senator, and all the brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is my pleasure and an honor to be sitting here in this wonderful masjid and with Brother Yasir, who we've known when he was not the big sheikh that you are seeing. And his older brother was my brother's classmate, so mashallah, we've seen him grow into this wonderful person, and who's always shown love to our family at times when we needed it most. You know, today there were so many of you, and there was a time when we were all alone, when everything of ours was taken from us, and we were all alone in this world of billions of Muslims. And if we would want to look up to them, most of them would turn their faces and try and hide in case they... So, you know, it that was a time that really hurt, because you take the testimony of a disbeliever in front of the testimony of your own sister. Your sister, a Hafiz-e Quran, a brilliant Muslim woman. But there were these few people that, you know, they say it's times like these when you know who your true friends are. There were these few people, quite a few of them are here even today. And one of those is, that brother did ask that I should not be using his name. And then there's Brother Maurice Salah Khan, and the brother who hosted me here. And lots of sisters here. There's Sister Nudrat. I think she's here. And but the thing is, my dear brothers and sisters, today is one of those days that's very difficult for me to actually express what I'm feeling. Today, they told me that I can't visit her again in this visit. So I visited her, so that was the third day. And saying goodbye was not the difficult part. The difficult part for me was leaving her. There's something in Farsi that they say, nashistan, guftan, barkhastan. So you sit, you talk, and you leave. So it almost felt like that's what I did with my sister. I mean, all I did was in 20 years, wanting to see her. I do see her. But, so I'll go with the details of what happened, but I mean, today, seeing her leave the room in the shackles, and me being taken out from the other door, and I was like, how can I just go back to normal, leaving her back where she was? What was the point of my visit? Alone, all I could do was look at her through the glass. But I do believe, seeing you all here, that alone maybe I could not go through that glass, but together we can. Maybe I can't, but together we can. So definitely things have changed, and I'll tell you how we got to where we are as briefly as I can. I know it is a weekday, it is Isha, it is late, and you all have to work in the morning. And so I'm going to be very brief, but I do have one question for all of you. How many of you know who is Afia? Do you all know who is Afia? Okay. Is Afia a medical doctor? Dr. Afia Siddiqui, what does she specialize in? Is she a medical doctor, a surgeon, a physician? Is she a physician? No. Is she a surgeon? No. Is she a nuclear scientist? Yes. How many say yes? A nuclear scientist, okay. Is she a physicist? Nuclear scientist would be a physicist. Does she master in biological warfare or biology stuff? Some people think that is too so. So as Brother Yasser said, I should say Sheikh though, but...
Sorry, brother is fine. Brother is so, my honor.
He has now become this big sheikh, so mashallah. How many of you think that she was just a simple educationist? Literally nobody, huh? Okay, so you see, that is how the truth is masked, just as Brother Yasser said, that, you know, when we Google Afia, when I Google Afia, I can't find my sister. Trust me, in the millions of pages that you, if you Google Afia, there are millions of pages. I can't find my sister Afia anywhere. You see Wikipedia, Brother Maury, I don't know, I can't see him where he is, but he used the word for that when it comes to Afia or other Muslims, it's Wikipedia. So the facts are distorted. And there is so much innuendo in there that we lose the true Afia. The true Afia hated physics. Okay? She knew nothing about nuclear whatever, physics, chemistry. Afia was an educationist. She mastered in learning, in neurosciences, in cognitive neurosciences. Her PhD was learning through imitation. So now you could use her thesis of learning through imitation. I mean, that thesis means a lot because it formed the trajectories of how human learn, how the children, so it was to make learning more efficient. And so the 12-year learning curriculum could be concised into 10 years, and even those who are mentally challenged could easily go through that. So you see, when we have little children, how they imitate us? So in Urdu, what they say, bachon ki zehni pardasht ke upar uski research thi. But nowadays, her research is being used where? In the very, very most common thing that we have these days, the AI, right? So, us waqt wo the human beings ko intelligent bana rahi thi, ab wo artificial. That imitation, AI kya karti? What does AI do? It imitates, right? So, you know, robots and all, so they teach them through imitation. So, that's the core of how human beings learn. And that is why there's always been a prophet to tell us what to do, to show us practically, because just by reading through a thing, we can't become what we are. Even for doctors, we have to do an internship to do. So that is what Afia's specialty was. Now, an educationist who is trying to help children learn is not sinister, is it? So how could you sentence someone to 86 years if that is who you are? So that's how the innuendo starts, and you know, little things are dropped by and then people pick it, and that's the thing. You have to see whose witness, whose statements are you forwarding. And that's how goes on. So, as Brother Yasir said, the other fact that goes on a lot, especially in Pakistan, when they don't want to do anything, they say, oh, she gave up her Pakistani citizenship. She was a U.S. citizen, so they took her. Right? If she was a U.S. citizen and they had taken her from there, it wouldn't be such big a crime. But taking a Pakistani citizen from her own country, which technically is a sovereign country still, right? So, is a big crime. It's rendition. And it's internationally. So, in 20 years, in over 70 years of Pakistan's life, Pakistan, my country, has gone through a lot of tribulations and turmoils and trials. But, you know, we always manage to come out of them. Somehow, as a nation, when we have been hit by the worst, we come out the best. When it was the floods, when it was the big earthquake, when it was the war of 65. But, you know, we always managed to, whatever happened, we always managed to keep our dignity and honor. Pakistan had a place. Our green passport had a place. Let me see. I have my passport. Okay? So this was something that people were still proud of. People used to come to Pakistan for education and all of that. But this dignity and this pride and the value of this green passport started to fade when amongst us there was a dictator that started selling his own people to his foreign masters and said so very proudly in his own book how much bounty he collected. So that is when our dignity failed, when the value of this started going down and falling. And Afia, unfortunately, was a victim of one of that. But it was not just about Afia alone. It was Afia and her three little children. Baby Suleiman, who was only 6 months old. Ahmed, who was 5 and a half. And Mariam, who was 3. You know, So, unfortunately, they were kidnapped, abducted, renditioned, and then everything else that happened. And then fast forward, so there's a whole movement. Millions of pages take over the internet. Afia, Afia, Afia. There are people who raise Afia to levels way above sainthood. And there are those people who demonish her as the worst demon. There are also articles out there that say Afia is in the Bible as the Dajjal or the, you know, so there's everything out there. And that's what it is with that. But fast forward 20 years. So I applied for my visa in 2013. I actually applied for my mother. She had fallen and she had broken her hip and that, and I was like, you know, I want to take my mom to meet Afia. So it was then. And so it was put in pending, in limbo. So every time you'd put in the number, it's like it's under processing. So then the electronic thing finished and that, and they said you have to file another electronic. That was on paper, so then you have to file an electronic. So in 2015, an electronic application was filed. And the same thing, pending, 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 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, and Afia was kidnapped in 2023. And I was here, I was the director at Sinai Johns Hopkins University. You know, one of the best universities, and I was like at the top thing, which I left and went, a lot went through, what we went through, lots of trials, lots of tribulations. We were alone at one time, and then slowly a whole caravan of people, and mashallah, alhamdulillah, now there's a global Afia movement, and it's people like you. I mean, Brother Yasir here said that, I am the person, I mean, without you, I am nobody. And if it weren't for you, if it weren't for the du'as and the hands that raise of our sisters, I would not have survived. I could not have survived a day. I was always the quiet girl in class. To speak in front of so many people, for me, well, it still is difficult. But for me at that time was like torture. So the point is that fast forward to 20 years. I go in. Okay, so when they finally did get me the visa, it would be remiss if I do not thank our Foreign Office. I do not thank the Islamabad High Court that passed a very strong order which put them in contempt if they do not facilitate my visa and facilitate my coming here. And I will also thank the Prime Minister of Pakistan, the current one, who took it to a personal notice to make sure that I get here and I get here safely. And they did. Without any hassles, they got me in. I mean, this is the first time in my life I did not have to stand in that line, that big immigration line. I was passed through it like a president or something. But I got here, alhamdulillah. So maybe that was a sign that now the doors are opening. Maybe that I'm sitting here is a sign. So then I get here, I come here, I meet with my hosts who have been very gracious. May Allah grant them everything that they want in this world and hereafter, inshallah. So the day comes that I go to meet Afia. So I'm going to tell you something behind this because I think if I don't start from where I was. So my Afia's daughter Maryam, and I'll show you pictures of them. Eventually they will come up, I guess, at some point. She's just completed her third year of medicine and going into the fourth year, but she is a wonderful designer. So she loves to design clothes and, you know, fashion designer and that. So she, when she was like that, first anticipation was, what if it's a trap? They trapped our mother, and what will happen if we lose you? And I was like, you know, it's something I have to do. And I told them that, you know, if I am to die, then death will get me wherever I am at that time. And if I am not to trust me, my own death is going to protect me till when it wants to take me. So they were like, that's crazy, but okay. But then they'll just lock you up. It's not about dying or that. What if they do what they're doing to our mother? And I was like, if that's going to be my destiny, I can't do that, but I have to go and see her. And my request was that I want to be able to at least hold her hand. But that was denied. I mean, well, it was denied when I got to the prison. So, fast forward, I get to the prison. So she designed an outfit for me. She designed two outfits for me, one of which I'm wearing right now. And so... So she made them in the greenish tinge, because green being Pakistan's color. So the interesting thing about this passport is, on the very front page, this passport tells our government that the Ministry of Interior, Government of Pakistan, requires and requests, in the name of the President, Islamic Republic of Pakistan, all those to whom it may concern, all those to whom it may concern, to allow the bearer to pass freely without let or hindrance, and to afford the bearer such assistance and protection as may be necessary. So this passport actually gives me that safety, security, and that Afia should have had. But anyway, so she designs, and guess what? The prison rule. No greens, no khakis, nothing with khaki on it, and nothing on green. So this green suit that she designs for me, I can't wear. I have to go change. Okay, anyway, so I get in. The prison was waiting, the guards were waiting. They got us from a side door where you couldn't even tell you're getting into a prison. They did not touch, so I should thank them for complying to that and for being humane. No touch search or anything like that, no physical, nothing, just pass through the metal detector and that's it. They didn't even like give me a visitor's pass. They just like, you know, gave a little stamp and that's it. So then we stood there waiting, and all I could hear in that wait, you know when you're waiting every minute in silence, it just kind of gets to you, it's deafening. And then in that you hear ding, 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 chik, 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 and then you hear boom, and then you hear the rattling, and then you hear down. And this is just going on, and then we go through one door, then another, and then they go 10-4, blah, 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 10-4, and then we go in, and so we walk through by, you know, but courteous throughout. We go in through this area, and then, you know what's ironic? The way to FMC Carswell, it's green, it's lush, and it looks like so peaceful and so, you know, serene. And who would think that behind these, this little farm and that, lies one of the world's most horrific torture chambers, legally sanctioned torture chambers that you could imagine. It was horrifying. The walls, everything, and that clanging of those big keys, just constantly, I mean, ringing. And so we go in, and then as they're walking us in, I see someone coming in a khaki dress and khaki shirt and off-white. So the first day, it was just like a strip cloth, which is kind of a little torn, and over her head in shackles and you know, chains like this, and just like bending like that, and just saw a glimpse. They took us into the room like this, and then there, and suddenly as she walks in, and here's the glass, and I'm here. And she walks in from here, and she just looks like this, and forgetting there's a glass there, and she wasn't told, because I heard her say that, you know, where are you taking me? Who's there? This is not even a visitor's day or anything, and, you know, no one's come to visit me since ever. So they just, like, pushed her, and then she just looks, and she sees me, and she just goes straight into the glass. And for that 1 minute or fraction of a minute, I saw a sparkle in her eyes. And then her hands were there and my hands were there. That was the only sparkle of life I saw. Otherwise, it was like a dead shell of my sister. Now I had to just stare and stare. That, who is this? What have they done? Where is Afia? Yes, it was Afia, but it was not Afia. I don't know if you can get it. I don't have the words to explain that. But I just sat there, and then she was like, is this really you? And I was like, is this really you? Then she goes, you've become weaker than you were. And then she asks, you know, the first thing she asks, how is my baby? How is my baby? And I just look at her, and what do I tell her? What would you tell her after 20 years? You see someone that you have missed, and you have spent every second of your life trying to help. Ask you, what have you done for me? Where's my baby? I don't know. Where's my mother? How is my mother? Do I tell her I'm here bearing bad news? I couldn't. I just couldn't. I just sat there. And I said, first you tell me everything about what goes on, then I'll tell you. I've got messages from everyone, you know. And I said, ask me about Ahmed. Ask me about Maryam. You know, Ahmed has become a doctor, so I was trying to find something nice to tell her. And she goes back to the baby. Because that was the last one that was in her arms. He was 6 months old. So I told her again, you know, Maryam has become very beautiful, and she goes, don't say that, they'll snatch her away. Don't talk about anything nice for them, they'll take them away. And that was the situation of the paranoia. And then she went on about everything that happens in prisons. It may be a female prison, but these days you all know what happens. Males, males, females, females, and all. I mean, I'm not going to go into those details, but I can tell you one thing. When she would talk about her children, there was life in her. There was hope in her. There was a sparkle in her. And when she talked about her mother, about her father, when she talked about the past, the good happy days, which is where I tried to take her. Poetry, she knew Iqbal, and you know, Quran, she was a hafiz of Quran. And I mean, the senator here had a nice time. He's very good with Iqbal. I would not be reciting a lot of Iqbal poetry. I'm sure Allama Iqbal would start, you know, get very restless in his grave that, you know, who is this? What are they doing with my wonderful poetry? But the senator here was very good with that. So he and her exchanged a lot of Iqbal during their visit. I was there, and there was, you know, you would see the brilliance, the genius in her. And then there was the trauma. And I don't know if there's the pictures there, are they? Brother, is the...
Yes,
so which one is there? Can I see it? So can you put the one with Afia sitting with her baby?
That one.
So if you see this, brothers and sisters, you see, what do you see here in this picture? You see a mother with a child. Now, almost everyone here is a mother or a father or a brother who has a younger sister or a sister who has a younger sibling. Imagine snatching this little thing from the mother. Imagine your baby being taken away from you. And then go on to the next children. See those little kids? This is who they were when she... This is where her memories were locked. This was the age where she was... This, I mean, coming down from when they were born to here. That's it. And now they're over 20. They're grown up. That's the big gap. How do I fill that gap in 3 hours? I mean, how can I get her past that? Because that's where her life is frozen, right? And those little kids, imagine taking them. Imagine taking one of those kids, if anyone has like a 3-year-old or something, snatching them from you and putting them in a foster home or giving them to some army person to raise your Muslim child, your Muslim daughter, and putting the son into a children's prison. Imagine that. And then being told that if you don't do this or you do that, otherwise these kids will be killed. Which mother on earth is not going to plead? I know if it was my child, I would say, hey, I killed Habil I was the one who brought on all the tsunamis. You tell me what hideous crime I did, but please leave my child alone. Let my child live. This was the worst form of human coercion in the 21st century. Taking away little children from their mother and then using them. This is the, anyone, just imagine for 1 second. And then you ask, how is she? She may be even in the best of places. She may be in a palace. Any mother, any woman, you take away her children and put her in the biggest palace and give her everything she can wish for. Will she be happy? Will she be sane? Will she not go stark, raving, mad, crying for her child? She would say, leave me in a jungle, but let my children be with me. You know, when I got Ahmed back, and I asked him what they did to me, and you know what Ahmed said? Auntie, you know, if they would have cut me to pieces, but let me be in my mother's lap, I would not have complained. Those were his words. So the worst form of, and then after that, whatever torture was done to her, it cannot match the very first thing. And after that, to be able to be as sane as she was, this is nothing short of a miracle. To see how she survived the environment, I mean, for me, 3 hours was like, I would go mad. Imagine since 2013 she's been there. 10 years in this FMC Carswell that I saw. I mean, I begged and begged. Can I just hold her hand? I mean, you can search it, it's nothing, right? Can I just touch her and comfort her? Just absorb some of her pain? There wasn't even a sign, even a glimmer of, any kind of humanity in those eyes. That was the one time I saw under one roof the ultimate zalim and the ultimate mazloom under one roof. And they were there. And I could see, and I could see those eyes, and I could see those eyes. And there was nothing I could do about it. Brothers and sisters, there's nothing I can do about it. But together we can. Together we all can. We can at least get her out of that admin unit. We can request that. I mean, she's skin and bones. She has no teeth left. What kind of danger would she be? And we could get her out of that. We can ask for humane treatment. I mean, she can't even get water. So we used to send money for her commissary. Because we had no contact with her for like so many years. You know, when someone is a lavaris, then that's how I guess they do it. But someone, the daughter of the ummah, with such a huge ummah behind her, no one to ask about what's happening to her? Isn't that a food for thought? Her mother left this world. I mean, some brothers told me how to tell how our mother passed away and that, but I think that will be for another time. It is already 11:30, inshallah.
Can I ask you, were you able to show these pictures to
her? Right, so I wanted to show her like from this time that's locked in to how they came to me and how they grew up, you know, every year, their graduation, the gold medals, their achievements. So I made these collages and I took them. They took them all away. They were so angry at me. How dare you? We didn't search you, so you brought in pictures? I was like, you said paper was allowed. No, then they even didn't let me take a pen and paper that I could write anything. So, I mean, and then leaving her. And then commissary. So I sent her, so the first day I went, I sent her money through Western Union. The next day I went and I told her that I'm going to do it and I'm going to check the next day. And I checked, and before I checked even enough, you said that they came to me in the evening and they said, you have money in your commissary, you can go and order something. So the next day she says, I ate something today. I got like a cup of tea. So she got some tea bags from the commissary that she could. So those were simple things. But then today when I was leaving her, she said, okay, 2 days I had, and I'm grateful for the 2 days that I had of some peace, and I could get that. But now that you're going, it's going to be the same thing again. And I said, no, it won't. And she said, okay. I said, I'm coming back. And she said, when? And I was like, I didn't know. And then I just blurted out, it's June, right? I'm coming back in July. And she goes, in 2 or 3 months, maybe, and maybe you won't come back. Maybe, you know, it took you 20 years to get here now. So, and I was like, no, they did give me a multi-entry, so it shouldn't be a problem. And then the lawyer, Clive, said, no, I will accompany her. You don't worry about that. But you know, she was just, I left her in tears. I walked out in tears and with a new hope that, you know, my brothers and sisters see this ray of hope and help me this time turn it into sunshine, inshallah.
Inshallah. So Dr. Fozia, very specifically, we are here, alhamdulillah, 1,000 people online, tens of thousands are going to watch. What specifically can we do right here, especially us in Dallas? She is in Dallas. This is like fard ayn on us in particular. Should we write to the prison, you know, chaplain? Should we, this commissary that you talked about, can we give money to it or it has to go through you? Like, what can we do specifically?
So, as for the commissary, she is allowed only $360 a month that she can spend. So, I'm not sure putting more than that for the commissary would be of any use to her. I mean, it could be like if 1 month we forget or something, so she'll have leftover. But I have to look into, the lawyer is looking into what they do with the leftover. If the prison's going to take it, it's not worth it. But then there are other things that she could, like recreation. So if she wants to crochet or knit or paint or that, so she needs to buy the material, the paper, the stamps. If she wants to write, she'll have. So there's another $300 fund for that. And then there's a, I think it's a $10 per minute charge for phone call. So if she wants to make a phone call or email, the internet charges, and now there's video calling also. We're trying to get all those activated for her because all this time we didn't have any proper lawyers or anything. Whatever happened in the past is the past, but we were misguided or whatever. We were spending all this money, but nothing in the right direction. But this time I got to see, I got to talk to the prison people, and I, you know, whatever's in the manual, there's a lot of things that are other than in the manual, or I don't know what they write and what they do. But so there's ways of doing that. So those are funds that would help her. You know, it would give her recreation. She could paint, she could write. She loves poetry, she writes poetry. But they take it away from her because she doesn't have a locker. So, and then, you know, she's also punished for like leaving a paper somewhere or something. So it's a very vicious double-edged sword that you have to walk through. But we have to get her out of that unit. And then the other thing is, after all these years, it did make a tiny difference in her life. She got 2 days in which she actually ate. She managed to get commissary. She managed to have a cup of tea in peace. So commissary, yes, and along with that, these other three things. So for everything, there's a different fund. So then another thing she really wanted is that they've now allowed prisoners tablets, in which there's the MP3 player and, you know, there those whatever certain things. But, you know, it's nice to have a tablet, I think. So that's something we could, you know, donate for her, get. And the other thing would be, I know that Clive is pro bono. He's not charging him for his services, but he is based in UK. So if we want him to frequently come and resolve these issues, he's going to have to fly in every time, which will be costly. And if I do have a multiple, but coming from Pakistan is not easy. Not just that. I mean, for me, if I come from Pakistan, it's not just the airfare that I'm paying. I'm taking time off from work. And I have children, two wonderful children in medical school. And medical school is expensive anywhere in the world. So, and I have to pay their fees. So I can't take that much time off all the time. So, you know, the airfare and that and everything does pile up.
Dr. Fawzi, you don't need to explain. Tell us where to give. Simple as that. So, we're here for you. You don't need to explain. It is fard ayn on all of us.
So those are things where, you know, your help would come in useful. And obviously the campaign and everything else. But this is what I saw. This
but
is what
where,
I went through.
Where do we donate?
So Clive has started a fun thing, and I think I have it. It's something at 3DC.
So I will get the address from you.
So Brother Yasser will get the address.
And I will forward it, inshallah. So this money will go to you.
No, it will go to the escrow account.
Okay.
So he's formed like a fundraiser. So he put in, like, he estimated 20,000 pounds. So he raised 5,000, of which he must have used for his ticket, but he said his ticket wasn't much going back. And his coming here, I had him fly from UK to Pakistan to Dubai, and then Dubai to America. So imagine, like, 38 hours across the globe, which he could have just done in 6 hours from UK to America, so that he's on the same plane wherever I'm traveling. So alhamdulillah, but I think it was worth the cost for the first time. So that I did, that's not an issue.
One other question, Dr. Fawzi. Are you?
Yes.
I know Clive is representing at some level, but how about a local lawyer here to get these amenities, these perks?
So the other thing that we do need, so Clive is there, right? We need someone local here who can keep visiting her, who can keep pushing the prison, right? Make sure that, you know, the things are done. I need volunteers. And I need the community will help, inshallah, if, you know, you need expenses.
But we don't want a volunteer lawyer. We want to hire the best lawyer. We want to get the best lawyer.
Actually, I'm not sure if the best is what we want. We have Clive, so, and we want someone who will work with him. So sometimes the best don't work together all the time. So
true. Okay.
You know, akle kul hote hain. We are all akle kul.
So inshallah, I will send this email link to all of us as a community.
So maybe just a junior lawyer, just someone who can keep nagging them. Mm-hmm. Keep, you know, their presence. You know, so after you got the money the next day, the same day, because I said I am coming back tomorrow to check. I did. I told the guards there and that, you know, it took me 20 years, but now I know everyone, because I had to go through the highest officials in Pakistan, the Prime Minister and the State Department here, all the way to Biden. So now I can go directly to them because they made this possible. And obviously the prison was like, they were made to, you know, they were told to get me to come this way, so they believe that. So Allah, inshallah, is greater than that, so he will keep that statement of mine and keep that fear into the prison. So they made things happen, right? So if the lawyer keeps going, things won't go back to what they were, and we'll inshallah get her out of the admin unit. And once she's out of there, then, so we need that. We need sisters to go for social visits. Those who are qualified, you know, it would be very nice to have psychiatrists, sisters, you know, who qualified in that, so who know, you know, how to deal with the trauma that she's gone through. You know, the trauma of a mother losing her children. And that, so when she talks about that, they know what she's talking about. And don't just think that these are just the rantings of a crazy person or something like that. So we need some of those sisters to come out and to shed away their fears. And inshallah, if I can make it all the way across here, I'm sure those here, Allah will protect.
Inshallah. Inshallah, Dr. Fauzia, we really appreciate you coming all the way. I know it's been traumatic and a long day for you. We really appreciate that you have spent time. She delayed her return back just to be with us. She's going back tomorrow morning then, inshallah. So we appreciate you coming here. We hope to see you again and again. We will be sending out this email message about the, I have the link now. So we'll be sending it out, inshallah ta'ala. And that fund will help her come regularly. And it will help Clive come. And it will also help Clive hire a local lawyer. So this one fund. And it is in an escrow account, so it is managed by people who are in charge directly of Dr. Afia's case. And inshallah, also, the Pakistanis especially, inshallah, the petition to them is to make sure that public awareness is made, that it's the fard ayn on us Pakistani people to put pressure on our own government back home to try their best to, within the system, try to have some type of swap with Dr. Afia and others.
Exactly.
Inshallah.
I mean, the Islamabad High Court has given, I think, one of the strongest orders of the history of High Court of Pakistan for Afia and for compliance. And the court said that if at any time there is a non-compliance, told my lawyer in Islamabad that you are going to come and file a complaint, even if it's a Sunday, I will open the court and put out an order.
Alhamdulillah, inshallah.
So, brother, we have the courts on our side for justice. So, all I need is you all.
Inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. And we'll make special dua for you and for Dr. Afia. We raise our hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, Ya Dhal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Jabbar, Ya Qawi, Ya Muntaqim, Ya Dhal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, Ya Sami'a Dua. يا من يجيب دعوة المضطر يا من يجيب دعوة المضطر We ask you, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, to free our sister Afia Siddiqui, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Sami'a Dua, Ya Allah, Ya Dhal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Muntaqim, Ya Jabbar, Ya Qawiyu, Ya Aziz, Ya Allah. Show us miracles, Ya Allah, for you are the one who gives miracles, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, send peace and comfort on sister Afia, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give her sabr, Ya Allah. Increase her iman, Ya Allah. Allow her to taste the sweetness of iman, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, allow these difficult days to become easy for her, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us the courage to help her from this side, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, reward Dr. Fauzia for all that she has done, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, expedite, facilitate and swiftly release Dr. Afia, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, allow Dr. Afia to be reunited with her children, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, allow her to be returned to Pakistan swiftly, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we put our trust in you, Ya Allah. To you we complain, Ya Allah. To you we complain, Ya Allah. To you we complain of our weakness, of our incapacity, of our incapableness to do anything, Ya Allah. But you are the one who is capable of all things. Ya Sami'a Dua, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Maliku, Ya Quddus. Show us your miracles, Ya Allah, and return Dr. Afia to her family. Indeed, you are the one who listens to du'as. You are the one who hears our pleas. You are the one who shows us your power, Ya Allah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdi Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullah khair, Dr. Fauzia, once again. And we look forward to seeing you again soon, inshallah, in your next trip here.
Faya dhulli wa ya khajali Iza ma qala li rabbi Ama istahiyaytah ta'asini ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلي